place as a missionary. He's been growing in the Lord. He's been just really working through his faith through all of his experiences. And he is writing to the church at Philippi. And he's writing them a thank you letter, just saying thank you for your encouragement. Thank you for your financial gift. And so that's where we're starting. Philippians 4, and we're going to start in verse 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, and now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, of having both abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me and in my affliction. And you yourselves also know, Philippians, that the first preaching of the gospel after I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases your account. But I have received everything in full and have abundance. And I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So verse 11 is what we're going to kind of zero in on. And it says, I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am. And I think contentment can just be one of those things that just seems and feels so unobtainable. Like you just can't get it. And we're reading what Paul's saying, and he's saying, for I have learned to be content. And then he tacks on a couple words that make it a little bit more strong, in whatever circumstance I am. And I think that's the thing with contentment is it's a process. It's just like for you kids who are in sports or anyone who's learning an instrument, it takes time. You have to practice. It's not just something you can say, Lord, give me contentment, and boom, you have it. No, it takes work. It takes just practicing here, practicing there. And some days you may do great. You may not have a problem at all. But then other days you really may struggle and it will be hard for you. But through that process of continually trying, you're going to get closer and closer. And we know it's doable because Paul said, for I have learned to be content. So we know that if Paul can do it, we can do it too. I like to look at the Greek whenever I do any kind of Bible study, and I'm going to butcher it, but that's okay. Contentment in Philippians is autarkes, the one that we're looking at in verse 11. And it actually comes from another Greek word, archeo, which means satisfactory, enough, or sufficient. And this Greek word used here is actually the same one that's used in 2 Corinthians 12:9, where Christ says, my grace is sufficient for you. So if we think about this, as we come to rely on Christ's sufficiency in our life and we trust him, and we walk in what he has for us, that's when contentment comes. It's a walk. It's having faith in Christ that he is enough. Now, when we were reading these verses, we actually read through a secret. And I don't know if you guys caught it, because the first time I was reading this passage, I didn't catch it. But we're going to read through it again, and we're going to get it this time, because everyone loves a secret. I say there's two kinds of people. Everyone loves secrets, and there's two kinds of people like secrets. Either you like a secret because you take pride in yourself for not telling anyone, you know you can keep a secret. Or you're kind of like myself, and you like secrets because you want to be the first person to tell everyone else. Like, that's the fun of a secret. So you're one or the other. You like a secret. So let's start in verse 12. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. So listen, verse 13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. That's our secret. That's how you do it. You can't be content on your own. It comes through Christ. And Paul says it right here. That's how he does it. He does it through Christ. I mean, just using Paul for an example. He's in prison. I mean, he's probably a little older. I mean, so it's not like this is a walk in the park anyway. In prison in that time, it's dark, it's cold. It's not a nice place to sit down or even a desk to write at. I don't know how he got his writing utensils to even write this letter, but he's so content in his circumstance, in prison, that he's writing encouraging words to this church that he probably is never going to see again. I don't know for sure if he did or not. But they're not there, but he's more concerned about them and encouraging them because he's so content in where he's at. That is Paul allowing Christ to be his strength. Let's look at Paul's last words of encouragement in chapter 4, verse 19. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. God will supply what you need to be content. It's our job through Christ to walk in that contentment and to practice it and to do our best to learn it. And through Christ, it's going to happen. So at the very beginning, I said great gain. You probably have it figured out by now. But just in case if you don't, we're going to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And again, just some background. 1 Timothy, it's Paul. He's writing again. This time he's writing to Timothy, who is a young leader in the church. So he was probably leading congregations, maybe jumping around like Herb does each day of the week, going to a different church. But he's young, and so Paul's giving him instruction and encouragement. And specifically in chapter 6, he's giving him instruction on how believers should act and what kind of principles they should live by. And we're going to start in verse 3. If anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with the doctrine conforming to godliness, he is conceited and understands nothing. But he has a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words, out of which arise envy, strife, abusive language, and evil suspicions, and constant friction between man, a depraved mind, and deprived of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. But godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For we have brought nothing into the world, and so we cannot take anything out of the world. Godliness brings great gain, but it's only through contentment that we can do that. So why? Why is it great gain? It's great gain because contentment is internal. It's something that's inside of you. It doesn't depend on what's happening around you or what your circumstances are. When we're content, it means we're at peace with ourselves and we're at peace with what God is doing in us. And in our culture, I think it's super hard to be content because all around us, we constantly see our peers and our friends and people that we hang out with, and even people that we don't know, we just are kind of watching them from afar. They're pushing. They're going harder. They want the better job, the nicer car, the newer gadget. You know, something. We're always going for something bigger and better. And God just wants us to step back away from our culture for a little bit and look and see, what do you need and what do you want? And can you be content with where you're at, with your circumstance, with your family, that kind of thing? It's all about God. And our contentment is godliness. And that is great gain. And, you know, we talk about contentment, and I think we understand that it is great gain. But Clay's going to come up and he's going to share application, because we can read about Scripture and listen to it all day, but if we don't learn and put it into practice, then it's just one ear and out the other. So I encourage you guys to listen to what Clay has to say and to take it home this week and to really make it yours and see how you can put it into practice for your life.
Amen. Those are good words. Aaron, Ryan, and Chance, you guys did a great job leading worship this morning. God's anointed you to do so. All right, so we talked about contentment, and Cynthia just read the scripture that godliness with contentment is great gain. So why should we seek contentment? Obviously, I mean, there's a lot of things in the Bible that that it says is not necessarily great gain. You know, it doesn't necessarily say the things of this world and the possessions of this world and material things are great gain. But it does say that godliness with contentment is great gain. So how do we cultivate contentment in our lives if it is great gain? It has to be a work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, creating contentment. We can't just do it in our own, as Cynthia said. We can't be content without being in relationship with God, because God created us to be in relationship with Him and to have fellowship with Him, and our spirits mingling with His Holy Spirit is our satisfaction and our contentment. So we can't have contentment, number one, without being in fellowship and relationship with God. Actually, the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, is called the Comforter. And the Holy Spirit subdues those desires and helps us to rise above our sinful nature so we can desire the things of God instead of being in coveting what we don't, constantly craving what we don't need. So it's being in relationship with God and being in fellowship with the Holy Spirit that helps us to be content, that stills those desires in us of what we don't need, constantly craving what we don't need. And second, we cultivate contentment in our lives through thanksgiving. I don't know about you, but it's just so easy for me to get my focus off and begin to think about, you know, everything I don't have instead of everything I do have and everything that I've been blessed with in this life and everything God continues to bless me with. It's so easy to lose thought of that. I found a quote on the internet, and I'll probably slaughter the name, but his name's Epicurus, a Greek philosopher. And he said, "Do not spoil what you have by desiring what you have not. Remember that what you now have was once among the things you only hoped for." I thought that was pretty cool. I mean, you think about that, the things that are now in your life, the things, the blessings that surround you, you know, those are probably things that you once prayed for earnestly, things that you desired from God and God's given you and blessed you, and there it is right in your lap in front of you, you know. And if we just take the time and think about that and be thankful, look around us, look around at our families and our relationships and all the things that God's blessed us with. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." I love that scripture. It's been a lifeline for me because it's just a good thing to know that when you find yourself asking, like, you know, "This circumstance is rubbing me the wrong way, and God, what's your will in this? I can't see it." Well, you can start by knowing that God's will is to give thanks in all circumstances. So where can you start knowing God's will today in your present circumstances? Give thanks in all circumstances. And just going back over the scripture that Cynthia already read, 1 Timothy 6:6-8. "But godliness with contentment is great gain, for it brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it." When I was thinking about that scripture, you know, it says we brought nothing into the world. And, you know, I just thought about being born, and honestly, I don't remember the moment, but, I mean, you guys can think about it. We're coming to this world with no clothes on our back. You know, the only thing we had was our relationship with our parents, and if we already had brothers or sisters, you know, that's the only thing we come into this world with. And then, you know, you just follow your life and up to the present moment and think, man, how much has God blessed me? It's so easy to think, you know, God owes me this, or, you know, we have that sense of entitlement, you know, or my parents owe me this, or something. But no, everything that's been added to our lives that is good is God's blessing in our lives. So that's one way we can be content, is we brought nothing into the world. And he also says we can take nothing out of it. You know, that brings focus to what life's about. We can take nothing out of this world. And what he's talking about is not, you know, the things of the kingdom, but he's talking about material possession things. It's so easily to chase after because we're constantly bombarded, especially in America, with commercials or the new car or the new clothes or whatever. You know, it's so easy to stir our appetite for things that we don't really, when it comes down to it, we just don't need. You know, we get something new and a couple months later it's not new anymore. Oh, it didn't satisfy me like I thought it was going to satisfy me. That's why we need to find our satisfaction in God alone. Enjoy His blessings, but find our satisfaction in Him. So that's one way we find our focus and our purpose, we can take nothing out of it. So why should we focus on constantly gaining, you know, material things and constantly adding them up when we can't take it with us? So why don't we focus on God and His kingdom? That also brings contentment in life. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Ooh, I don't know if I'm there yet. Yeah, I got food, I got clothes, I'm good. Not quite there yet. But that's what Paul says, you know, if we have food and if we have clothes, praise God, let's be content. We also cultivate contentment in our lives by focusing on God's sufficiency, you know. We begin to focus on ourselves and our circumstances. We're like, man, I just don't have what it takes. I don't have the strength. I don't have the knowing. But when we begin to focus on God like Paul did in the scripture, he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He was focusing on what God could do and what he could do. And that's one way we cultivate contentment, is focusing on God's sufficiency in our circumstances. 2 Peter 1-3 says, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Notice it says, everything we need. Not necessarily everything we want, but everything we need. The things of the kingdom, the things of the Spirit, God has already equipped us with if we'll just tap into it in our day-to-day needs. And I begin to think about God saying that I am, He told Moses to tell the people of Egypt that I am, that I am, that God is the great I am. He's, I am your strength. He is, I am your comfort. I am your redeemer. I am your shepherd. I am your savior. I'm the bread of life. I'm the living water. He's our everything that satisfies us, and He is our sufficiency. So God is the great I am, and that's another way that we cultivate contentment in our lives, is as we draw on God's strength and His sufficiency in our circumstances. So what are the fruits of contentment? That as we begin to learn this thing called contentment and walk in it, things that we see in our lives, the fruits of contentment. And first of all, contentment makes us a whole person. You know, I begin to think about this one. We're not content. We're under the lie and the delusion that we lack something when God has really given us what we need and He's supplied it according to His Word. So contentment makes us a whole person. We can really be where we're at, and we no longer miss all those opportunities of when we're so discontent. Oh, man, I want to be somewhere else. I want to be in another situation. I want to be with other people. No, when we're content, we're whole, and we begin to see the opportunities and the blessings that God's put before us, and how can we serve God fully in where we're at instead of constantly wanting to be somewhere else. And I was thinking about that this morning as Cynthia read the scripture of Paul being in jail, saying he's learned contentment. You know, because he was content and had learned contentment, he wasn't just sitting there in the jail cell. I'm sure that wasn't his first pick of his place he wanted to be. But he was able to be content enough to see another need and to write and encourage. And to encourage others as he wrote scripture. He could only do that because he was content. He began to see the opportunities before him instead of wanting to be somewhere else. And another fruit of contentment in our lives is contentment simplifies our lives and helps us focus on the things that really matter. We can be discontent with so many things, but when we're chasing material things and constantly craving for more of this world, it takes our attention and energy away from being in relationship and serving God. And so when we're learning contentment, we should have more energy and more focus to serve God, because we're no longer chasing and using our energy for the things that we think we need, but maybe we don't. So, just want to challenge you guys to learn contentment with us. Obviously, we're learning it. Paul was learning it. And just challenge you guys to learn it with us, that whatever circumstance you find yourself in this morning, whether it be, whatever it be, a relationship or job or a lack of something that you need, I just want to challenge you to apply this word this morning and learn contentment in your life, because God's grace is sufficient. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and that your word teaches us what is great gain, Lord. It's so easy to get off on track and to begin to focus on things that really won't fill us, that really won't satisfy us. But we know being in relationship with you, God, satisfies our deepest longings of our heart, Lord God. You are the bread of life. You are the living water. And you say, come and drink of me, and you will never thirst again. So, Lord, teach us to drink from you, Father. And, Lord, teach us in our present circumstances, Lord, to learn contentment along with Paul, and to learn your strength and your grace in our present circumstances, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.